Well, good evening, all. We will call the meeting to order, please. And Councillor Jouart, you have the moment of reflection?
Please join me in a moment of reflection. May we cherish and protect the freedom and peace that we enjoy in Clarington. May we be mindful of the cost of freedom and peace. May our deliberations be respectful, and may our decisions be informed and wise. May our work be focused on and lead us toward the betterment of our communities. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Well, thank you all. I wonder if we have any declarations of interest. Seeing none, so you know, and Councillor Neal, you'll have to take the chair that on CLD-01019, that's item 11.2. Thank you. This is the Alexicon directors and director remuneration. I will be declaring on that. Councillor Jouart, item 3 on the Planning Development Committee, are you declaring on that? That was on the interim
Sorry,
control.
I'm still on the interest. I have an interest on item 3 of the PDC report to Council.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. Anything further? Seeing none. Councillor Hooper, you are up first with announcements.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. The only announcement I have is in regards to, I don't know whether anyone had the opportunity to watch the Junos last night, but we did have a presence there in the form of Megan Patrick. She was nominated for 2 awards. Unfortunately, she did not win, but however, we are still proud of her and her accomplishments that she's made today. And at one point, I think we'll be able to put on one of those signs, home of Megan Patrick, and you know, the Juno Award winner. So. She was in a tough category, and I just want to say, you know, you're a winner in our book, so thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Jones.
No announcements.
So now, is it just me, or is the sound a little bit off tonight again? Yeah. Councillor Neal.
No announcements.
Councillor Trail.
No announcements.
Councillor Jouart.
No announcements.
Councillor Anderson.
No announcements.
Okay, I'm going to make up for all of you guys tonight with announcements. Sorry for that. So the very first is to recognize Mr. Ralph Kerr. Ralph, I've got my glasses on. There you are. So Mr. Kerr is the EA from David Piccini's office. They are making a point of getting out to the local councils and saying hello and seeing what we do and how we do it. So thank you ever so much for joining us this evening. Earlier, a couple of us, Councillor Jones, Councillor Hooper, and Councillor Neal, were out to celebrate Bob Owen's 25th anniversary with Roy Nichols. So, you know, 25 years since he's been running that dealership. Of interest, Roy Nichols, the dealership itself is 97 years old. So in 3 years, they'll be celebrating a century of being in business in the town. If you did not have a good enough time on January 1st for New Year's, you have the opportunity on Wednesday to celebrate the Baha'is New Year's. Let me know. There is a dinner which is traditional, and I'm sure they'll be delighted if you want to come out and join them for a little while. Friday, the Visual Arts Center has art from high schools. Always a really neat thing, and we see the young upcoming artists in the community. Saturday at 9 a.m., a friendly dollar and discount store has their ribbon cutting. That's at 337 King Street East in Newcastle. And finally, on Saturday night, PFLAG has their gala. That's at the Rickard Center. And the theme is the Rocky Horror Picture Show. So I guess if you come, you should bring toast. I thought that was way funnier than that, but, you know, you try. All I can say is that you try. All righty, we'll move on to the minutes. Councillor Traill, I believe you have those.
Thank you. This is moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zwart, that the minutes of the regular meeting of council held on February 25th, 2019 be approved.
Do we have any questions, comments, errors, or omissions? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All in support? Opposed? And those are carried. Thank you. We have one presentation or one set of presentations. And these presentations are in recognition of the community service staff for their contributions during the Curtis Complex incident. I'm pretty sure that no one who woke up that morning thought that we would find a car in one of our pools. I have been absolutely forbidden from cracking any carpooling jokes. This is a really tough crowd, just really tough. So on Friday, January 25th, just past 8:30 at the Curtis Community Complex, a car, and you've seen the videos, traveling at a rather high rate of speed, and actually an amazing feat of getting that car between those posts, drove through the front entrance of the facility, crashed through the front doors, the lobby, into the pool, and came to a rest in the small teaching pool. It was a chaotic situation. There were a number of customers entering the facility in the lobby, and we had people in the swimming pool at the time. We're also lucky with the community staff that we had on duty who reacted immediately and took action. And again, for those of you who've seen the video, the calm and professionalism that was displayed was absolutely incredible. So this included calling 911 to get emergency services response, jumping into the pool to attend to the driver of the car, and I understand that that happened almost instantaneously, providing first aid to the swimmers that had minor cuts and assuming control of the immediate area until police arrived. The efforts of those individuals, our staff, we are proud of all of our staff, but we're particularly proud tonight to be recognized, our Mason and Mason, I am going to apologize. Hallerchuk? Howerchuk? Close? Okay. Caitlin Bennett, Sajida Kadri, Sydney Judd, Andrew Davey, and unfortunately, Andrew is not able to join us this evening. Folks, as I said, staff make us proud. You guys have made us particularly proud, and we are just delighted to recognize what you did on that day and your efforts, frankly, every day. Are you going to read them out? Mm-hmm. You've got a microphone and everything?
Well, because here, I'll give you one at a time.
Oh, I see. How cool is that?
So our first recipient, if I could call forward, please, Caitlin Bennett. Sajida Kadri. Sydney Judd. Mason Howerchuk.
Yeah.
All right, this puts us into the delegations portion of the evening. The first delegate is Bradley Phillips, and he is speaking to the interim control bylaw 2018-083, and this is item 3 on the Planning and Development Committee report. Mr. Phillips, welcome.
Thank you, Mayor Foster, members of council and staff. As Mayor Foster, my name is Bradley Phillips. I'm here as agent for Jane McCarthy, who is legal counsel for Mr. Barry Ballahood, who is the second delegation this evening. Barry will be here to kind of support any information that council might have any questions about the proposed construction project. My client is actually the current owner of 10 Victoria Street, who has an interest in as to whether Mr. Ballahood's application gets approved this evening or not. As most of you will recall, this was before Planning Committee last Monday and was recommended by town staff, but ultimately declined by the Planning Committee in the minutes, which I assume are before you this evening. I listened to the recording that was from last Monday, and there was some incorrect information that I'd like to correct on the record this evening, so hopefully that will support the reason why I'm here this evening and hopes to get that overturned from the committee report. The information that was incorrect was essentially kind of on the timing of the agreement of purchase and sale where Mr. Ballahood entered into the agreement to buy Victoria Street from my client. So as you all know, the interim control bylaw was brought in September 17th of 2018. Mr. Ballahood entered into an agreement of purchase and sale with the intention of knocking down the existing dwelling on the property, which is, I'm told, a little over 600 square feet, but more or less uninhabitable at this point because it's run down. Mr. Ballahood's intention at the time in entering into the agreement was to knock that down and build a semi-detached structure on the property. The original closing date was August 5th of 2018, which was about a month and a week and change before the interim control bylaw was enacted by council, which essentially put a halt on all development projects in the area as of September 17th moving forward. Had that agreement closed on August 5th, that would have had time for Mr. Ballahood to submit the application. The reason Mr. Ballahood didn't close on that was actually at the request of my client. So my client is a 66-year-old woman, retiree, who has purchased a Reed's Heritage Home condo at Liberty and Longworth. Those actually coincidentally started final closings today, but they were significantly delayed from the original timelines of build. It was supposed to originally have interim occupancy in 2018, but as a result of delays in construction, that was delayed beyond that date. So my client requested from Mr. Ballahood an extension of the closing date to allow for her purchase to coincide with her sale so that she wasn't homeless for a period of, say, 5 months, give or take. Mr. Ballahood obviously graciously agreed to that and basically put us in the situation where we are today, which is potentially closing on this transaction after the interim control bylaw has prevented him from doing any kind of development work on the property. Now, the proposal that we've requested, or Mr. Ballahood and his representatives have requested, is an exemption from the bylaw under paragraph 2E. You'll notice that there are three properties that are exempt from this bylaw, which is allowing the building of semi-detached dwellings subject to regulations contained in section 2F, which is the next paragraph. Paragraph 2F, Mr. Ballahood is fully understanding and has plans presently to fully comply with those. Now, the letter that was submitted to planning last week actually suggested a lot coverage of 36.7% of the lot coverage. I actually have a drawing here today. It was just made today, or made available today, of a under 35% lot coverage after Mr. Ballahood and planning staff discussed the reduction in size of the garage from a two-car garage to a one-and-a-half car, which actually reduced the overall lot coverage of the property. So I do have 7 copies of this if anybody's interested in seeing this. It also shows the lot location of the proposed dwelling, which again was a request last week at planning. So you'll notice there that the dwelling is well within the lot limits and side yard setbacks, as well as, I don't actually have the exact percentage, 34.6, which is actually in compliance with section 2F of the bylaw or interim control bylaw. So the question today is whether we can amend the interim control bylaw to include 10 Victoria Street as one of the, it'll be the fourth exception to paragraph 2E of the interim control bylaw. And that's my presentation, if there's any questions from council.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips. Councilor Neal.
So is it your understanding through the chair to Mr. Phillips, is your understanding that if we don't pass an exemption that he's not allowed to do anything with the lot? Is that your understanding? Or?
Until the interim control bylaw expires or until it's replaced, yes. Based on the beginning of the bylaw, it restricts any use of land, buildings, or structures located within the area in the interim control bylaw zones. One of the things that would be required in order to build a semi-detached dwelling is actually a severance. So that basically paragraph would prevent that severance from occurring.
But my understanding though was your client, or not your client, Ms. McCarthy's client was seeking
Mr. Ballard.
Relief from the lot coverage. I didn't recall anything about any other relief that he was seeking.
Any development is prevented by this interim control bylaw. So that the plan to build a semi-detached dwelling, which is why the request was to include 10 Victoria Street under 2E to actually do any development on the property, because the interim control bylaw restricts and basically prevents any development within that zone subject to the specific exemptions that are set out in the bylaw.
So through the chair, had Mr. Ball had done any kind of pre-consultation meeting with the planning staff?
Yes.
He had?
Yes.
Like a formal pre-consultation?
My understanding is that he had numerous discussions with...
Do you know what I mean by a formal pre-consultation? Like you pay a fairly modest fee and you get comments back on...
I don't have any information about whether there was any fees paid. I know there were extensive discussions with planning staff who suggested to Mr. Ballard that the project could move forward, and then the interim control bylaw came in. So I don't know the extent. We could possibly ask Mr. Ballahood. He is in the gallery this morning, or this evening, sorry.
Councilor Neal, I wonder if you could speak right into the microphone so the sound system is a little bit off tonight. Thank you.
Thanks.
Would you like to hear from Mr. Ballahood about that?
Well, my understanding is, through the chair, he's going to be giving a delegation so I could ask him.
I've asked him to be on as a delegation to allow him to speak. Or to have the right to speak to support mine. I don't think he has anything specifically to add to here unless the council asks a question that I'm unsure of.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? I guess we're going to be easy on you, Mr. Phillips. Mr. Ballahood.
Good evening, everyone. Just to answer your question, Councilor Neal, I was in my due diligence period before I purchased the property to speak to council or planning department. They said it was acceptable to build the semi. It followed all the regulations. And then between June and the purchase agreement until late September, when the interim came in, the company I had doing the drafting for the house was in contact with the planning as well. And they had also stated that it was acceptable to build the semi.
I guess the question through the chair, if I'm allowed to ask a question, Mr. Chair.
Of course.
Okay, so through you, sir, so had you done a formal pre-consultation with the planning department?
There was no formal one, no.
I see. So if you purchase the property and then there's the interim control bylaw, I guess you'll have to wait. It sounds like you'll have to wait until that expires, which I think has a set time period where it expires to do anything with the property, right?
Yeah, there is a expiry. I believe it's 1 year, and then with an option for a second year as well, without knowing what the total outcome is going to be of the character study, which could allow it or could not allow it. Or
okay, thank you.
Do you have any further questions? Mr. Bolha, do you feel a little bit like no good turn will ever go unpunished? Is that a...
No.
Because my understanding is you delayed to accommodate the owner?
Yeah, originally that was the plan, not knowing if I had not have given the extension, I would have been able to apply ahead of time to build the semi.
You would have been well in advance of the interim, if I understand correctly, of the interim control bylaw.
Yes.
All right, good. Thank you. Well, thank you for coming out tonight. Members of committee, might I suggest that we alter the agenda? We can deal with this now. Councillor Hooper, so alter the agenda to deal with item 3 of the Planning and Development Committee report. Are you seconding that, Councillor Anderson? Okay, all in support? Opposed? That is carried. So that is page 25 of your planning agenda. Yeah, there's a resolution. If someone can give me a motion on that, please. Councillor Hooper?
I'll give you the motion that that it be as written with what Mr. Phillips has said in regards to the 2E and the rewrite of the interim control.
Okay, so in the memo from Mr. Seaman, we have, so again, that's page 25 of the planning report, and the suggestion was that the request to amend section 2E of interim control bylaw 2018-03 to add 10 Victoria Street submitted by by Barry Bollahood be approved, and that the interim control amending bylaw attached to this memo be adopted. Is that what you're suggesting, Councillor?
Right.
Okay. Do we have a seconder?
Mr. Anderson.
Councillor Anderson, thank you. Questions or comments? It's your motion, Councillor.
No, originally the issue that we all had, I think, or I had, in regards to the neighbor, bylaw or the neighborhood plan that we put in place was to sort of assist the existing neighborhoods in regards to these monster homes coming in place. So I sympathize with the developer. I just think that we were kind of caught up. We didn't have the opportunity to speak to the developer when he was here. It was sort of coming from planning staff. And it would have been nice if the developer had been here to answer some of the questions at that time. Thank you.
All right. Councillor Neal.
Well, I still really haven't heard anything that changes my mind. The whole point of the interim control bylaw was if you didn't have an application underway, then you weren't given the benefit of, the exemption. So regardless of how this came about, there was no application, so I don't support it. I mean, I certainly sympathize, but again, it's one of those things where what's the point of having a policy if you're going to always exempt it, So, thanks.
All right. Anything further? Mr. Seaman, your recommendation to us is, exactly what I read out, the motion that Councillor Hooper, can you address Councillor Neal's concerns?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the interim control bylaw is it includes restrictions for the future development if it was to be lifted that were designed without predicating the final bylaw designed to restricted development that was allowed to not offend the intent of the bylaw. So there's restrictions on extra restrictions on lot coverage, height, interior side yard setback, interior side yard setback with the garage, roof pitch, maximum and minimum. And so, again, it's not possible at this point to predict the final outcome of the bylaw, but staff are confident that with these restrictions in place through the interim control bylaw, that would be applicable to this development, that the monster, the provisions of which you want to avoid, could be avoided. Is that what you asked?
I think I understand the answer. So, I mean, the long and short is your recommendation to allow this to move forward still stands?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, yes, that's correct.
Perfect. Thank you very much. All right, second by Councillor Traill. All in support? Opposed? That is carried.
So, if I can follow that up, Mr. Chair, so through you. So, is that saying that anybody who comes forward with a proposal that would have meet in general that these things you just outlined, we should grant a further exemption? Like, so now I'm totally confused as to why we're doing this, because or appear to be doing it. So in other words, what I hear is, well, because this proposal kind of generally meets what we think we're going to do or may do, that we should approve it, whereas I thought the whole point of doing this in the first place was, unless you had an application in process that was kind of grandfathered, that was the whole purpose of passing the interim control bylaw in the first place.
Mr. Seaman, can you address that, please?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. My understanding is that the additional provisions that were put in the bylaw were put in place for areas where, if council felt that it was appropriate to have an exception, that the main negative aspects that were out there, which were intended to be avoided, would some comfort be provided in terms of any new development going forward would have a consistency with the character of the area. That said, the study is still ongoing, and there is a limit in terms of the length of the interim control bylaw being a year. So if council felt that it needed to not support the request, then there would be a period in which the applicant would have to wait, but it wouldn't be terribly long.
Well, through the chair, I guess my question is, if we had a request from an owner who had a similar lot and said, you know, I'd like to be added to the exempt list because I'd like to put up two semis and I'll have, you know, I'll downsize it or whatever to 35%, would the recommendation be the same, that we approve it?
Mr. Mayor, it was felt that this was given the timing, that this was a reasonable request for exemption, and the applicant felt, and the applicant was willing to comply with the restrictions maintained within the bylaw. It's really up to the council's discretion as to whether or not it wishes to grant the exemption or not, but we're comfortable if it is, that restrictions are within the bylaw are such sufficient in place that the intent of why the study is taking place would be maintained. Again, that the final outcome of the study is not known, and if council wishes to wait till then, that's council's prerogative.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll ask for a recorded vote.
Okay, do we have anything further on that? Yeah, so I was only, you know, partially in jest when I asked if Mr. Bolo had felt like, you know, no good turn will ever go unpunished. So, you know, to try to accommodate, you know, someone in the area, he finds himself here instead of moving ahead with what he wants to do. We've got the recommendation from planning staff in front of us, and I will leave it at that. Madam Clerk, I believe Councillor Neal asked for a recorded vote.
On the motion to approve the request, Councillor Neal?
No.
Councillor Trail?
No.
Councillor Ward has declared. Councillor Anderson?
Yes.
Councillor Hooper?
Yes.
Councillor Jones?
No.
Mayor Foster?
Yes, and that motion fails. So I have a prediction that if we go back, my guess is that the opposite motion will fail as well. Might I suggest that we refer this to the P&D committee to see if we can't find some sort of resolution? Councillor Hooper?
I'll give you that motion.
Do we have a seconder on the referral? Councillor Anderson. On the referral, questions or comments? Call the question. All in support? Opposed? All right, well, I guess we're going to be here for a while.
Well, I'll move as written, Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry, as
written as in the report, number three of the report.
Well, number three of the report is what we just voted on.
That but it was a different motion that was moved. The report.
Okay, so that's a motion to deny. All right, seconded by Councillor Trail. And this time I'll ask for a recorded vote. On the motion to deny, questions or comments? Madam Clerk?
Councillor Anderson?
No.
Councillor Hooper?
No.
Councillor Jones?
Yes.
Councillor Neal?
Yes.
Councillor Trail?
Yes.
Councillors Ward declared. Mayor Foster?
No. That motion fails.
I'll give you a motion to table it, Mr. Chairman.
Where and when, Councillor?
Just table it, period.
So indefinitely?
Pardon me?
Indefinitely.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much the same as a deny. Okay, thank you. Seconded by Councillor Trail. So on the motion to table indefinitely, and I will look for a recorded vote on that as well.
On the motion to table indefinitely, Councillor Anderson?
No.
Councillor Hooper?
No.
Councillor Jones?
Yes.
Councillor Neal?
Yes.
Councillor Trail?
Yes.
Councillor Zwart declared. Mayor Foster?
No. Councillor Neal.
So I'll give you a motion to refer it back to staff. How's that? No specific date. Just refer back to staff.
And the expectation on staff coming back to us when?
Whenever they feel they should.
Okay. Second by Councillor Trail. On the referral, questions or comments? Mr. Seaman, could you bring that back for the next Planning and Development Committee?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, yes. Yes, we could.
Perfect. Okay, recorded vote, please.
On the motion to refer to staff.
No.
Councillor Anderson?
Yes.
Councillor Hooper?
Yes.
Councillor Jones?
Yes.
Councillor Neal?
Yes.
Councillor Trail?
Yes.
Councillors Ward declared. Mayor Foster?
Yes.
Thank you. That,
the clerk is thanking us. That motion is carried. I'm going to suggest a five-minute break to see if we can't do something with the sound system. Moved by Councillor Hooper, seconded by Councillor Jones. All in support? Opposed? Carried. Thank you. We're good. Okay, folks, we'll call the meeting back to order, please. So the sound is better. It is not perfect. I would ask everyone to maybe speak up a bit. And I am the worst offender. I will try to speak right into the microphone. Maybe articulate and speak up, and we'll see how it works out. All right, we have no communications for information. Item 9.1. Town of Whitby, communications for direction. Councillor Schwart, you have that?
That correspondence item 9.1 be approved as per the agenda.
Okay, and that's referred to item 8 of the... Great, item 8 of the GG committee report. Questions or comments on that? Oh, did we have a seconder? Sorry. Councillor Anderson, thank you. Questions, comments? Councillor Neal.
Well, I was actually... going to move to endorse that particular motion, so, which is a little different from referring it to consideration. So.
Okay, well, maybe Councillor Schwart will, so we can do it a couple of different ways. This is an easy way. Councillor Schwart, would you
I'll
like to...
withdraw my motion.
Withdraw it and move to endorse?
Yes.
All right. Seconded by Councillor Neal? Sure. Questions or comments on endorsing the correspondence? Seeing none, call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Thank you. Yeah. 9.2, Councillor Schwart, you are up again.
Is that my, okay. That the council, oh, I move that the council of the municipality of Clarington endorses Margaret Schwart, local councillor for Ward 4, for the position of Roma Zone 5 representative of the 2019-23 Roma Board for the remainder of the board term. Seconded by Councillor Anderson.
Your good colleague from Wards 3 and 4.
Very, very good colleague.
That's right.
Questions or comments on that? Seeing none, call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Thank you. Councillor Jones, you have item 10.1.1.
I move that the advisory committee report item 10.1.1 be approved, and that was seconded by Councillor Hooper.
Questions or comments? So I'll do a really quick comment. It's a little off topic with it, but for those of us that were at the Clarington Board of Trades event, you'll know that MPP Park has put forward the Golden Girls Act. It's a private member's bill. It looks as if it's going to pass. And this deals with the ladies up in Port Perry that have joint ownership of their homes. I was recently made aware of an email that came from those ladies. In the email, they suggest that it's a wonderfully circular event, if you will. If you recall, when we had the Governor General, or pardon me, the Lieutenant Governor down here, they were part of the group that were introduced to Lieutenant Governor. So that was their introduction to the Lieutenant Governor. Our MPP has brought that legislation forward, and it will be the Lieutenant Governor that signs that into law. So they thought, in a circle of life sort of way, for the staff involved and volunteers on that, you take a little tiny bit of credit. So some progress on the affordable housing file. So with that, whether you needed that information or not, call the question. All in support? Opposed? And that is carried. Thank you. Councillor Anderson, you have the GG agenda.
Yep. 10.2, that the recommendations contained in the General Government Committee report of March 4, 2019 be approved on consent.
Okay. Do we have polls on the GG report? Councillor Neal.
Number 8, please.
Okay, beyond 8, do we have any other polls? Seeing none, on the balance, I'll call the question. All in support, opposed, that is carried. And item 8 is the regional review. Councillor Neal.
Just move it, moving it as stated in the report.
Okay, seconded by Councillor Jones, thank you.
So I guess my question to Mr. Chair is, is the email, do you consider the email that was sent by your assistant to be the answer to number 1 in the motion? Or will it be, motion reads, an actual report?
Yeah, that's it. That's what I can share with you.
Okay, so I guess I envision something that would actually be formed part of the public record. So so one of the questions, or one of the issues was council size, and the memo from your assistant said that you shared that we could revisit how many councillors currently sit at the region. Can you give any indication of how you, from your standpoint, how the mechanics of that would work?
No, because we didn't get into detail, councillor. So it was a free-ranging discussion. You know, I can't suggest that we made any specific recommendations.
So I guess what I'm concerned about is how, for example, if there's going to be, for example, if there was going to be 2 Clarington councillors as opposed to 3, including yourself or the mayor's position, how would that sort of how would that be rolled out with the rest of the municipalities that sit on Durham Region, i.e. Brock, Uxbridge, Scugog, that currently have 2, and you know, have a population which is a fraction of Clarington? So would that mean that theirs would go down to 1, or how would that? I'm asking is how that would translate into specifics from your standpoint.
Your speculation is as good as mine.
Okay, so I guess I don't see this as answering the resolution, so I guess we'll have to take that up. Like, in other words, this is presumably, if it's approved, is going to get ratified tonight, and then to me it would involve something happening at the next council meeting, but I don't see a sort of a memo from your assistant as answering number 1 myself, but that's just my view. Thanks.
Mr. Allison.
If I could speak to that resolution, I have drafted a report that will bring the issues that are raised in that resolution to the next GGC meeting. The memo from the mayor is actually attached to that, so it will be a part, the email from the mayor to council will be attached to that, so it will be part of the public record, along with the province's description of what this review is supposed to entail. In terms of reference are included in that. There's also copies of emails from the special advisor to Regional Chair Henry and all local councillors, two emails. And finally, there's an attachment, which is the survey that the province has posted. They indicated they were creating a portal such that there could be public comment. The contents of that survey are also an attachment to the report. So there's more information coming in response to that resolution. It'll come to the next GGC. The public website, the province's website, is open for comments until April 23rd. So there is an opportunity for council to provide input. Candidly, it's very difficult for staff to make recommendations in relation to the review. If you look at the survey questions, there are a lot of them. They're very open-ended and they're very far-reaching. So the recommendation in the report will be to seek direction from council on those items, whether it's the size of regional council or a specific service that's delivered at the regional level or local level that council would like to see delivered differently. We'll need direction, but the attempt is to put as much of that on the public record in a report that will be coming to the next GGC, so a week today. You actually have the report later this week.
Well, I guess if there is a reduction in the size of regional council, which again could happen, I trust that whoever's speaking on behalf of Clarington will be mindful of the fact that, you know, we just went through a regional review where, you know, the townships or with considerably smaller population, less area, for example, currently have one less representative than we do. So if we go down to two and they remain where they are, this will create a real unfairness to the residents of Clarington, more so than it is even now. So so again, I don't know what regional council is going to look like or if there's going to be one or whatever, but I just hope the Clarington's being represented, the interests of Clarington's being represented forcefully in this review. That's my concern. Thank you.
Councillor Neal, I can give you great certainty that the interests of Clarington are always forcefully represented on that. And in terms of what regional council might look like, your speculation is as good as mine, is as good as anybody else's. All right. On the report, call the question, all in support, opposed, and that is carried. Thank you. Okay, Councillor Neal, you have P&D.
So moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Traill, that the recommendations contained in the Planning and Development Committee report of March 11th, 2019 be approved on consent.
And three has been dealt with, so the clerk is noting that. Any polls? Call the question, all in support. Opposed, that is carried. Thank you. Councillor Neal, you're up again.
Okay, so we're on to...
This is PSD-01719, that the cannabis retail store siting policy be lifted.
So moved by myself, saying my Councillor
Traill. Sorry, I misled you. I'm jumping way ahead. I've got my cheat sheets here, which completely ignored the staff reports. So 11.1, which is EGD-008-19. That's the Upland Sales Pavilion parking lot construction status.
Sure.
My apologies, Councillor. Councillor Neal.
Well, I'm going to move that this be tabled to a meeting near the end of April or beginning of May. I'm not that, I can explain why if...
well, why don't you refer it instead of table it and then we can debate it.
Okay,
but it's I'll the same that. Same outcome.
Yep, I'll move that then.
Okay, so
I just don't know what exactly what date, whether it's GG.
So you want that at a GG?
Yeah, maybe near the end of April, beginning of May type of time frame.
Okay, give us half a second. May 6th. So May 6th.
Yes.
All right. Seconded by Councillor Jones. Councillor Neal.
Well, my concern is the second parking lot that's supposed to be built and supposed to be open near the end of April, according to the report. So. If that is built and as advertised, then everything should work out. I've been told by, for example, the CAO that we should be fine. I had some concerns about some of the language around that lacking in the actual license agreement, but if it's not built, then I guess then I'd want to deal with it. But I drive by the site several times daily, I see no sign of that temporary parking lot having been built. So unless I'm missing it, but it's all fenced off, so I can't go and look at it. So, but.
Can't help you.
Am I misreading that?
I'm gonna have to defer to Mr. Cannella, but I actually thought the temporary parking lot had been built. It's not being paved, it's just being leveled, and there's going to be a granular base, and I thought that work had been done, but I stand to be corrected.
Mr. Cannella? Oh dear.
My apologies. I thought that the temporary parking lot work had been done. It's not going to be paved. It's just going to be leveled and graded to with a granular base, And I may be mistaken, but I thought that work had already been completed. I don't know if you can confirm that, Mr. Kennell, or not.
Well, the parking lot is basically, substantially completed. And come springtime, they'll have some grading to match our proposed grade for our future parking lot that they've built the majority of it. So once the weather clears, they'll be wrapping up the parking lot, and there's been a permit issue for the sales pavilion, and that work is moving along. So I expect the dates that were provided by the developer to be reasonable for their opening on both the sales pavilion as well as the gravel parking lot.
All right, anything further? So, Councillor, this is an item for information. You can always ask for updates. I don't understand why we're referring it.
Because if it doesn't work out the way it says it's going to, then I think I've got some serious concerns about how this is all rolling out for members of the public that want to use that park, i.e. any group that's putting on an event down there. I've had a lot of past experience dealing with parking issues there. I don't, you know, at one time you had to go and sort of catch the developer in the right mood to get his permission to park up top. Okay, so I thought all that was behind us, but I'm sort of told everything is going to work out great. However, I don't see the temporary parking lot, unless I'm missing something. There's a big pile of gravel on the western edge where I think the temporary parking lot's supposed to be. I don't see any indication yet that that's been graded. The sales pavilion, okay, on the sort of parking lot closest to the sales pavilion has, quote, the right of first use. So if they're using it, that means the public isn't allowed to. So my concern is, what happens on a Saturday or a weeknight or something when the sales pavilion's open and someone's putting on an event down there or whatever, and they want to use the parking, and the temporary parking lot isn't built by that time or something, or for whatever reason. I don't know. That's my concern. Is this going to work out the way it's supposed to work out, which what I thought was the public had the full use of that parking lot. So that's my only concern here. So I'm just saying what I'm seeing on the ground isn't matching what I'm hearing or seeing on paper. That's all. So that's all. So if it's all working out great by the May 6th, it's no issue. But if it's not, I'll have some big concerns and want to do something maybe a little different than what is put on paper right now. That's all. So.
So the recommendation, Councillor, is received. This is just an information report. You can certainly look for an update. The clerk is suggesting that it'll be a much tidier process if we receive this and look for a further update on, is that May 6th? And look
no,
for
but
a further...
I might want to do something other than, quote, receive for information. I might want to move amendment to the agreement.
Fair enough. I think we're spending more time on this problem than we need to. Councillor Jones?
I just wanted to say that I support Councillor Neal in his comments, and I have also had the same concerns in the past, and that the residents of Curtis, when they're using Tooley's Mill Park, that parking lot is very, very important to include as much as the community as we can, and we have had problems with that in the past, being able to use it. So I would like to make sure that, you know, this is going to be available to the residents of Curtis to have their events there.
All right. On the referral, anything further? Yep, sure.
I'm just going to make one comment. The arrangement that has been papered up here is contained in both the license agreement and the site plan approval with the agreement and the drawings. What you have before you is one of the drawings that was approved. In order for this commitment to be a binding commitment, those agreements need to be executed. We actually have the ability to enforce a site plan agreement to make sure that things are done We have the ability to enforce the license agreement. So what we're really talking about is what happens if the developer doesn't honor its contractual obligations. And yes, contracts are sometimes not honored, but certainly the intention here is we've put something in place that benefits both the municipality and the developer in this situation. We're getting improvements made to the area. We're going to have a parking lot that we will take over, and some of the expense that we would otherwise have to incur is being picked up by the developer. This is what I would describe as a win-win scenario. We do have mechanisms available to us to enforce both the license agreement and the site plan agreement if it's not complied with.
All righty. On the referral, call the question. All in support? Opposed? Oh, sorry. Well, that carried, but Mr. McIver, go ahead. Share your wisdom with us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just going to stick my neck out a little.
Or were you voting? That's
no. I'm going to stick my neck out a little bit here and just provide a little bit of information. We have the signed agreement, both the site plan agreement for the parking lot and pavilion area, and the license agreement in our possession right now, just waiting for the municipality signature. And I'm told that the reference plan that has to be prepared before the transfer is made to the municipality is to be expected in the next week or two. So there's some timing for you in terms of how we expect things to happen over the next couple of weeks. I would certainly expect by beginning of May that there will be an update in terms of ownership changes and contractual obligations.
Mr. McIver, thank you very much. All righty. So this puts us on to 11.2. I have a declaration on that. Councillor Neal, the chair is yours.
So, Madam Clerk, can you sort of assist in what pages we're on here, and then what's the recommendation in terms of the motion?